Voices of Defiance podcast number 42, recorded live in front of an internet audience on Sunday, August 16th, 2015.
I'm Stephen John Drew.
I'm Chris Farrell.
And I'm Steve Boyd, and we're the hosts of Walking the Walking Dead,
a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network.
Just like the one you're listening to now!
The opinions expressed are those of each individual.
Check out other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
Now get ready, because geekiness begins in 3...
2...
1...
Welcome to Voices of Defiance. It's a podcast about sci-fi's television show Defiance and all of its universes to include, but not limited to, the video game. We're not experts, just a few fans like yourself that love the show and want to geek out about it. If you haven't caught up to the latest aired episode, you might want to pause right now and go catch up, since there will be spoilers. You have been warned. And now, let's have some fun and get on with the podcast.
Let's all do marshmallows by the fire. Hello, I'm your host of Voices of Defiance, Stargate Pioneer. My friends call me SP, and with me is the woman who we will name BS because, well, you'll have to talk to her husband about that. Her name is Shannon.
Hello, BS.
And also joining us today, after much time in the bathroom pre-podcast, feigning a phone call, his name is Sean.
I was on a phone call, damn it, and I have no idea why I called my wife BS or why she's called BS.
Boop star.
Oh, yeah.
There was some miscommunication there. We'll get back to that later.
We'll be talking season 3, episode 11 of A Demon in My View of Defiance today. Just a little reminder, you can catch us at voicesofdefiance.com. Go to our podcast page. All our contact information is there. You can find all the great ways to reach us, including our voicemail line, 612-888-ARC-1. Or 612-888-2751. Today, we have with us Mr. Top Gun MB himself. That is Matt Borman. How you doing today, Matt?
I am fantastic.
It's great to have you back on the podcast. For those that don't know, Matt actually works on the show in the VR department, and we were able to steal, and I do say steal, 15 minutes of his time today while he rushes out the door afterwards to go work on our final show. So is that correct, sir? Did I get anything wrong there?
No, that sounds, yeah, that's right. And I might have a little bit more than 15 minutes if you'll have me.
Oh, we can have as much of you as we want. Absolutely. I'll say, is this the most VR heavy season yet on the show, or is it on par with another season?
You know, I think we've had a few light episodes this season just because of the reduced nature of the schedule that we've had to do, but we've definitely put a lot into a couple episodes. Episode 8, My Name is Datak Tar and I've Come to Kill You, was one that had a lot of visual effects in it. And then this last episode, we're really pulling out some big guns for this last episode to make it spectacular.
Woohoo! Is the Galactica come back from, you know, passing through the sun, maybe?
Exactly. You know, the big drums are going to come out, and you'll see we'll whip pan over with some handy cam motion over to the Galactica. She comes bursting through the sun and blows up the Omek ship.
That's awesome.
No, I'm just kidding. That doesn't really happen.
Right. I did see the shot of the Omek ship back in 1978 in this past episode this week, and I was like, oh, I need more of that. That is so cool. It just reminded me of BSG.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was a beautiful shot. We actually had some really, really fantastic shots of the Suras this season, which, yeah, it brings you back to the BSG days. It kind of makes your heart hurt just a little bit for it.
Mm-hmm.
No. Yeah.
Shut up, Sean. So, just a little question for you. Whose idea was it to blow up the arch? Was that yours? I think it was yours. It had to have been yours.
You know, I may have said something in passing back in season one after...
It was you! We knew it!
After the upteenth time placing the arch, I was like, oh, good grief. Could we just get rid of this thing? I wanted it to totally disintegrate. No, I'm... No, but when I read that...
You're kidding. You're joking, right?
Oh, I'm totally right? Kidding. I love the arch.
Or what's left of it.
Take off the hat.
I'm not. It's a beautiful hat. I don't need to take it off.
Does he have a Stetson on?
I really wish we had camera on. He's got a bucket, and I do mean a bucket, like a popcorn bucket with Star Wars on it, on his head.
Fantastic.
I looked over. I'm like, what the heck? You know what? Keep going.
I'm in disguise.
You're an idiot. Okay.
No, that's one of the things that I really enjoy doing. I know it's such a simple thing is to be able to put the arch in the scene, but I don't know. It's just, I've done it enough times over the last three seasons that it's become fun for me and maybe a source of pride to try to get it in there to make it look as real as we can make it look in a scene. So when I read the script and I read that we were blowing up the arch, I was like, no way, come on. I mean, my jaw dropped. There are a few times in reading the scripts early on in the season, I was like, shut the front door. They are not going there. And then they did.
Yeah, that was an episode with two huge explosions in it. That was, talk about a lot of action. I mean, that's a lot of TNT.
Yeah, we took out the arch and Pottinger in one episode.
I guess I can do without the arch if it takes out Pottinger. If that's the trade-off I have to do.
I can do without Pottinger.
No, that was totally not worth it. You need to have Pottinger in this world. He's awesome.
Poopinger. Poopinger's his name.
Maybe that's the real reason they took out the arch, because they had to take out his reserve of hand lotion.
Oh. He had it stuffed all over in there.
Oh, come on. That could have gone without that mental image there.
We needed less lube in the town of Defiance.
See, I have had Doc Yule. We have seen her blow up the stasis net like twice now. Why couldn't they have used the arch as an actual weapon? Like, you know, in Star Trek, where you have the phasers joining in, coming out at the apex or something. That would have been cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That would have been.
But you can't do that now because you blew it up.
We blew it up. I know. It's gone. I know. It's still kind of creepy to see, especially in the title sequence. You're like, oh, yeah. Yeah, we did that. It's not whole anymore.
I know. The zoom in every week, and I'm expecting half of it to fall down because there's no way that thing can structurally stay up for too much longer.
You know, it's funny because in the process of doing all this, some of us have actually watched documentaries on the building of the St. Louis Arch.
Just to figure out how to destroy it, huh?
Right. Well, just, you know, just understand. We're like, would it really stand up? I don't know. There's debates. That's what we do in the mornings. We get around the water cooler and we debate, you know, would that arch actually stand up after that? I don't know. It's quite divided amongst the office, let me tell you.
The water cooler.
It gets a little heated over whether or not the arch should still be standing or not.
No, after that explosion, and in fact, the structural rigidity of an arch is culminated at its top. You blew off a third of it.
Yeah. Yes, we did.
There's no way that's standing, man. Just say.
And it happened to blow just straight into downtown, the whatever square, right in front of the law keepers.
Right in front of the need want there. Yeah. Need want and.
The town's only source of reliable income, and you guys nearly drop an arch on it.
It has its own explosions. Dealing with its own problem.
We see how it is now.
Don't forget the hand. Don't forget the hand.
Most don't forget that.
It's all that poor mother has left of her son.
I don't know. I think the arch's best like cameo, though, is still when Treasure Doll fell from the top of it.
Oh, my good heavens. That was so fantastic.
What was your involvement in that one, Matt?
He was standing on the sidelines going, drop her, drop her, drop her.
Drop her now, drop her now. Yeah, that was the fantastic Jesse Tovez who did that shot. I'm sure you've seen him on Twitter.
Yeah.
At Zeus Tovez. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, he's a fantastic animator. That is probably one of my favorite scenes of that episode, to see her come flailing down there. Yeah, my only involvement was as I got to take those shots. And then break them out so they could be sent to the compositors to put a little beauty sauce on them. So
that's the technical term for those of you not aware.
Beauty sauce? Right. Beauty sauce. Did you just say beauty sauce?
Maybe.
I'm so going to use that word now.
I will not confirm it. Oh, dang it. We're recording this. So aren't we? Dang it.
Yes, we
Hold
are.
Hold on, baby. I'm going to beauty sauce. Hold on.
Oh, stop it. Is that what's in that popcorn bucket on top of your head, by the way?
Yes, I just posted that picture for those that want to see how I had to deal with this.
I look good.
I had to feel the pain that I had to go through every time we sit down at the podcast table of the idiot sitting next to me. This is what he wears.
You married him.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's your fault.
I know. Exactly.
You procreated with
17
me.
17 years later, I'm like, what the heck am I thinking?
Who's more foolish, the fool or the fool who married the fool?
So, Matt, so far up to this point, up to episode 11, season 3, what is your favorite scene that you actually had a hand in?
Oh, that I actually had a hand in. Man, I don't know. I mean, I know that I have a favorite scene of the season, and that's when Daytax cutting off his arm. And
that was awesome.
Oh my gosh. And everybody, the reactions of everybody, they're freaking out going, oh my gosh. You know, that was hilarious. Was so funny, you know, and you know, you got Rom Tuck back there just totally freaking out, like, holy crap, you know.
Yeah.
Hilarious. And then of course, you know, they go around and high five everyone, which we have the arm. We actually have Daytax's arm, the prop that they went around high-fiving everybody with, and I have to say that we've done the same.
I want a picture of you with the arm. Yeah. High-fiving it.
So funny. I mean, oh my gosh, that scene was so fantastic. But as far as a favorite scene that I did, oh man, I'm trying to think. Well, no, I have one coming up in the final episode that I'm excited.
Oh. All right. We'll wait until the final episode and we'll hear from you then. I don't want you to get in trouble with Kevin because, you know,
because we're trying to get him on the show too. He's going to be like,
oh, that would be fantastic.
Didn't you? No, that wasn't us at all.
He didn't say anything.
Yeah, he didn't say anything.
We didn't ask him any of it.
None of it. So guest 55 in the chat has a question for you, Matt. Who were your effects, inspirations, and influences growing up?
Oh, geez. Well, you know, I grew up watching Star Wars and Star Trek, a lot of Star Trek. And so that's, you know, stuff like that. And then, of course, I mean, you know, you got Jason the Argonauts, you know, all the Harry Rayhausen stuff. It doesn't get any better than King Kong. I mean, given the limited stuff that compared to what we have today. You know, it's fantastic. You know, I was inspired by a lot of the people in Star Trek. I actually had an opportunity a few years ago to work on the season 2 Blu-ray conversion of The Next Generation. And at one point, I'm sitting there at my desk, and we have people like Mike and Denise Okuda, Dan Curry, Doug Drexler, and then one of our coordinators, David Tuckamer, all of these people who'd worked on the show, names I've seen in the credits, and they're sitting around talking about how they did all these effects and stuff like that on The Next Generation. And I was in awe. Dan Curry talking about what he used to make a particular, you know, I mean, it's just ingenious the way they did it. And so I looked at my coworker and I was like, do you think 20 years from now, we're going to go, man, back in the day, I really hit that F9 button hard to make that effect go. You know? I mean, there's more to it. You know, there's a lot more to it than that, but it's just their creativity, given the technology of the day, was fantastic. And, you know, it's stuff like that that drove me toward a career in visual effects.
At the same time, though, you have to go and have you seen the remastered versions of stuff like TNG?
Oh, yeah.
I watched it the other day. It was the whole in its high def glory, and it was the whole remastered version. And you can see in 1080p, Worf's makeup, how plywood the rest of the bridge is, you know, all that kind of stuff. You can, yeah, oh yeah, you can watch the walls shake when the doors close. I mean, you can see that the entire thing is made of plywood, cheap plywood. So in Defiance, you guys have actually got it pretty good because, I mean, it's all in 1080. It's all doing, you've got this stuff that's high def and just as beautiful as it can look. And I think it'll hold up a lot better than some of the old Star Trek stuff. Not that the Star Trek stuff wasn't great, but when you look at it all digitally remastered and go, oh, wow, okay. I don't think because you guys have actually built a town, because you guys spend so much time on effects and all that kind of thing, I don't think it's going to age terribly bad.
It doesn't look like it's going to be so wobbly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah, the set that they built up there is fantastic. I hope there's an opportunity to go visit it one day. I think the only one of us that's been up there is our visual effects supervisor, Gary Hutzel, because he's actually on set during the filming process. But yeah, man, it would be so cool to go see that set because
hey, I blew that up.
Yeah.
The reason that's not there, I blew that up. That's why that there's a big hole there on the set. That's why that is. You're welcome.
As he's scouring the corner.
Yeah, we would love to get up there too, because I assume after they're done shooting, which whenever that is, season 3, 4, 5, 6, and a movie, you know, whatever. But after that, I got to assume they got to turn that back into a production lot for something else. So it's not going to be there forever. I'm just assuming because it's in the middle of the Toronto filming set. So I would love to get up there as well. And I know Sean and Shannon would as well. Although that would entail Sean getting on a plane, which, like, let's face it,
never really happen.
Yeah.
That's okay. I'll leave him here.
She's good at that.
I don't need him. I'll come. I don't need you. I'll go.
They need to make it, well, you know, like down in New Zealand, you can still go down there and do tours of the sets from Lord of the Rings movies. They should do that with Defiance. So, hey, come tour Defiance.
Yeah, it'd be great. Where you can play the game. I mean, you can literally play the game like in the Nidwan or something. That would be
awesome. Exactly.
I've got videos of playing games in the Nidwan, and it's different. It's different than you think. I don't think that's a family
that's
experience.
That's a different kind of game. Yeah. All together there. Oh, man. Wrong kind of controllers. Yeah. How many points did you score?
Yeah. So Sci-Fi has added quite the repertoire to their lineup this year. We're really happy with it, from 12 Monkeys to Killjoys and Dark Matter. Have you had a chance to work on any of those other shows, or are those new crews coming in?
No, those are actually new crews. Yeah, we're exclusively Defiance, which with our staff, we'd have to have a lot more people. We actually brought in a lot more people this season than we've had in seasons past, just to handle the additional workload and the time frame that we've had to do it. So no, unfortunately, I haven't had a chance to work on some of those other shows, but it's nice to see a bigger variety of content out there for people who watch the Sci-Fi Channel.
Sweet. Okay, so we've got season 3 wrapping up and everything. In season 4, let's say we get it. Let's just say, because we're optimists here. And in season 4, if you had one effect that you could do, that you could just change the town of Defiance with, and they're like, all right, man, we're going to let you run loose on it. What would you do?
Oh, geez. There's so many things. You know what I think would be really cool is, I mean, some of the original concept art of the show or for the town back in season 1, and they actually mention it a few times in the first season. It would be neat to add, there's supposed to be like a trail, like a maglev trail or something, the train that was supposed to come in. And I think it'd be kind of a cool addition to add. Of course, I don't know if they could do that now that the Earth Republic is no more. Arisa kind of took care of them. And then Pottinger finished off the other half, apparently. But I think that would be a cool addition to the town.
A train?
Yeah, to add that train, you know, then why not? Because Defiance is kind of a Western in a sense. And so why not throw in a little hell on wheels here? You know, now we've got the train that comes in bringing all sorts of unsavory characters to the town.
Bringing in a little bit of steampunk to Defiance. That's what we need.
It's a steam train. That's exactly what they need, babe.
Steam train into a...
Yeah. We have laser guns and steam trains.
Hey, it's the perfect mix of steampunk. I like it. It had my vote.
So, Matt, there's a question in the chat. Who is your favorite white sacker?
That is a loaded question, no pun intended.
Okay, hang on. Those who don't know what white sackers are, which Matt and I are both white sackers... And you.
I was going to say three of us, yes.
But
I just
haven't
been on in a while.
So you
That's
don't
true.
Count anymore.
Oh, I see. I've been demoted. All right.
You've been totally demoted. White Sack Angels is the name of our clan that we play together on the Defiance game.
On PC.
On PC. Mm-hmm. So.
Yes.
Go, Matt.
Go ahead. She's like, now, Matt, we will skewer you.
So, I was hoping there's a dodge to that question. No, I love them all. It's fantastic. It's so much fun to play with every single one of them.
Good sack love.
So, backup question here. I was going to ask this anyway. So, describe to us your opinion of Shannon's gameplay.
He enjoys by jumping.
Violent, yes. Oh, and clueless would be my guess. Clueless.
No, she's got a pretty hefty gun. I'm over here. I've got my little gun shooting these guys, and it's like emptying clips into these guys, and they're not going down. And then Shannon comes in with her big boomstick, and that's the end of them.
Well, it also doesn't help that the moment I stand next to you, I bring up the level, so that's why you're like shooting water.
Exactly. That's what it feels like sometimes.
Standing next to Arissa, it's like nothing because she's like 5,000.
Oh, yeah.
Like
3, I remember 000. Standing next to Arissa. It was never good to go into an instance with Arissa.
You're not going to win.
Everything just, you get screwed because you're down here at like level 700 is what I was at the time. And she's at like 3,000. And you're like, why is nothing I'm doing working? I don't understand. And she's running around popping stuff and blowing up hallways and everything. And you're like, I must not be good at this.
You know, I have a second character. I have a different character that's not so high as like the original one that I play with. So that.
And what's your level now on your original one?
I'm close to 4,000.
4,000. Okay, just checking. Ridiculous, but go ahead.
I think I'm 300.
I finally hit like 800 the other day.
Ooh,
see, I was you're excited. Getting there. So I could bring out my other character, and then we can all play with our baby characters, and not have to bring Matt up to such a high level,
and not scare Matt.
Yeah, we don't.
You know, I've gotten really good at the run and shoot technique. A lot of running, and you know, an occasional I'll turn around and shoot something. Or I'm backing up, back up, back up now.
The only problem he has in the game is trying to get in the car.
Yeah.
I hear there are shrills in the game now.
I've heard that they're going to be. I don't think they're there yet.
Matt, did you put them in there? I know you put them in there. Shrills.
But I do enjoy the shrills. Give me a good shrill torture scene any day. Yeah, I saw a picture of them, and they must be an evolved version of the shrill. Because they look different than the ones that we had in the show. Of course, the ones that we have in the show probably wouldn't be much of a threat to people, you know, unless they can skitter really fast.
Well, they had those shrill bombs that like killed a bunch of people and ate through walls and all that kind of stuff in the show.
Ooh, I wonder if the shrill would attack the Omek. That'd be good. But
what we're seeing them, as I understand it, is what we're seeing the shrill in the show are their larval form, and then their other form is much more menacing and bigger, like when they grow up.
I would say, yeah, that makes sense because, yeah, you're not going to fill a bomb full of big mature shrill. So yeah, we haven't seen a mature shrill yet on the show. Maybe we will if we get season 4.
Maybe that could take down the Omek.
Oh, and man.
To be fair, we haven't seen a Hellbug in quite a long time in the Town of Defiance either.
I know. Oh my gosh. Which, did you guys see the fantastic? Someone did a do-it-yourself. Her name's Michaela on Twitter. There's a do-it-yourself Hellbug plushie.
I have seen that. It is amazing looking.
Oh my gosh. I sent it to my mom yesterday. I said the kids would love these. How hard would it be to make? And she's like, oh, I could do that. So that may be in their future.
Speaking of her, she does great artwork.
Michaela?
Yeah.
No, I have not seen Michaela's artwork.
Not our Michaela.
Oh my goodness.
I know I'm not our Michaela. I'm aware there's more than one.
She goes by on Twitter, it's Studio FMM. That's what she goes by. Her artwork is fantastic. Fantastic.
I love it.
So everyone should go check her out.
She did a shadow box thing of Stama standing at the window from episode, I think it was 6. Yeah, it was episode 6 when we see Stama, or maybe it was the end of 5. Anyway, Stama's looking out the window on the Omek ship, and she did a shadow box thing of it that I was just blown away by. That was so cool.
Yeah, great work.
Yeah, we need more death, destruction, and Hellbugs because, you know, we don't have enough of that.
I know, because right now we're too busy having licking, stabbing, and, you know, fighting.
Yeah, there's a lot of infighting and stabby type things going on right now. But still, look, all that's important is Kinsey is getting snuggly. And after that, I don't really care. Everything's fine.
She was doing some snuggling.
Doesn't Death, Destruction, and Hellbug sound like that's like a Defiance punk band or metal band?
It does, a little bit.
Blew up the arch. Da, 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 da.
Yeah, I miss Nolan's soundtracks in the car. You know, those were pretty good in season 1. Oh, yeah.
Soundtracks in the cars.
Well, yeah, remember in the pilot episode, they're Ark hunting, and he's got the little MP3 player or whatever it is, mm-hmm. And they're listening, and they're both singing and everything. Everybody's happy, and
that was the last time I think we saw Arissa happy and singing. pretty sure.
Yeah.
Jackson. That's what they were saying. Yeah. Jackson going to the Johnny Cash.
Little Johnny Cash there. Yeah.
Yeah. She has quite the singing voice, which you'll never hear. And Hellbugs and Destruction is missing their front singer, their lead singer. That would be Arisa. I'm almost sure.
We got. I'm telling you, this the cast for Defiance is so incredibly talented, especially having to learn these languages.
Yeah,
I'm so impressed. Like listening to the interview with Jesse, when he rattled off the castathon that he had to say while Daytac's up on this shaming rack. I mean, how long ago is that? He's still just and Nicole with the Olmec language. The same with Conrad. They both just. I've been very impressed with everybody's ability to learn these languages and how incredibly talented they all are.
Absolutely. Kinsey in this episode and Conrad, they rattled off their Olmec. I forget what it's called. And Nicole, sorry. I remember your name, though, Galicia.
I remember she's going to be calling you, SP.
Exactly. She said she was going to quiz you on that the next time.
She's going to be looking for you, and we're going to let her have you.
Yeah, she's pretty brutal when it comes to the enunciation and the languages. She's like, if I got to learn it, so do you people. Let's educate yourselves. Have some culture, damn it.
Well, I would love to learn these languages. I just think it would be so cool.
I don't know how the hell they do it every week. I really don't.
Well, there is a person you can contact. I mean, he is affiliated with the show.
Yeah.
I know. I'm like, do you do lessons? But come on, let's be honest. If you're going to learn a language, you want to learn it from, wouldn't you like Nicole as your teacher?
Oh, absolutely.
On anything.
Well, until she decided to eat me.
That'd be fine. It's worth it.
I'm okay with that.
It's worth it.
That's the consequence for getting it wrong. You have so many tries, and if you don't get it after so many tries, I'm sorry. Here comes the tea.
Sean would get it wrong on purpose every try.
Ryan in the chat is saving me. Kinukaz, I believe, is the language.
Yeah. Yes, Kinukaz, yeah.
Thank you, Ryan.
Of course we knew that.
Well, see, I'll be honest with you. I knew I could see it in my mind. I could see how it was spelled in my mind, but I didn't want to mispronounce it because I didn't suffer the wrath.
That's why I just say Nicole. I don't try because I don't want her, coming after me.
Oh, no, she could come after me. I'd be fine with that.
Come eat you.
Yeah.
I'm the language cannon fodder.
Yes, you're Mr. What did he say?
And the monkey flips the switch. That's me.
Shitako.
There's nothing wrong with that. It's Midwest slang of shitako. I mean, it's shitako. It's fine. Everybody from...
Is it a quiet taco? Is that what you're trying to say?
I was going to say, I'm eating
shitako.
It's instead of a crunchy shell, it's one of those, burrito.
It's from the Latin burrito form.
It's a soft shell. Minnesota, yeah, don't you know, up there, up north. I haven't seen anything of Minnesota in the game. The only thing I've seen is Edmonton. I mean, if that's all that's left of the north, we're all in trouble. No offense, Edmonton.
Might as well not bother in that case.
You don't need a train. There's nothing to go see.
Right, exactly. Now, that would be something neat, if we get a season 4, is to maybe venture outside of Defiance.
Well, we have an Australia that doesn't have anything left. We know there's something in Europe, but we're not quite sure what's there. We know that there's a downed ship up in Edmonton that the Arathians are fooling around with, and they're not telling anybody what's there. And so there is stuff that we know about in the game. Who knows what's in Antarctica? Brazil, that'd be fun to see Brazil.
Speaking of Brazil, I thought it was funny how in Friday night's episode, when Arisa was talking to Berlin about it, to the process of what they were doing. Hey, we have been on the road for a couple of hours heading to Brazil, and you get out and you see Berlin standing next to the sun, says Oklahoma City. So,
is that all that's left with the interstate? After 35 years, that's interstate 60, whatever, 65. That's all that's left, really? It's like one, 8-foot wide strip, and, trees are down and everything. Oh, Berlin. Oh, Berlin.
She came back.
Coming up in the 8x8. That was awesome.
And then she kind of wiggled her booty on top of the tree to unmount it and everything. I'm like, well, SP just crapped himself. That's good.
So there's been some speculation that Berlin is not quite happy with Conrad or his family or something. And that's the real reason she came back. Well, she's like, well, he knows.
I shot him in the foot.
Right, exactly.
He's still sitting there. As I drove off in his truck.
Let's be honest. She threw a shark at him, and that's what happened.
Oh, my. Let's not go there. Please. Please, no.
Was she in Sharknado?
No, he was.
Oh, he was? Oh, God, he was.
Stay with the times, babe. Stay with the times.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember now.
Horrible, but, you know.
Horrible. Yeah, like, horrible. Have you even seen any of them?
Previews.
I've seen the first one.
I saw them in previews. That's as far as I want to go.
It's not good. I'm just saying.
But it's one of those that you have to, when you watch them, you just have to laugh at the, you just have to laugh.
Well, that's one of those ones that you have to be drunk to watch, and I'm allergic to alcohol, so I can't do it. So
try LSD, man. I'm sure it's the same effect.
Sure.
It's 1,000 snakes crawling in your chair or something like that. I mean, that's fine.
Sharks.
You'd probably need that to watch Sharknado.
Take your mind off of it. Yeah, exactly. It was a great movie. The visions were horrible, though.
Horrible. Horrible.
Now I get the munchies.
So, Matt, is there anything else you'd like to tell us about season three so far
that you won't get tarred and feathered for?
Just that there's a lot of fun stuff coming up in these next two episodes. Yeah, it's exciting. It's exciting. And if you thought it was a fun ride so far, just wait.
And he can't tell us any of it.
Exactly. That's my way of saying, nope, I'm not. I can't say anything.
Yeah.
It's all right. Everybody's
Nothing for you.
Everybody's been teasing it. Stephanie's been teasing it. And Nicole and everybody we have on the show is like, yeah, can't wait till the last couple episodes. So, yeah.
It's really cool. Well, I love that the story arc of this season has been so neat. I mean, the introduction of the OMEC, the whole stuff with Ram Tak and his little merry band as they were marching to Defiance. I mean, we've had a lot of changes this season. I mean, Defiance is no longer in a sense, even though the town was never had an innocence about it, I think the show has lost its innocence that we had in the first two seasons.
The show was innocent in the first two seasons?
Along with half its population.
Well, you know, in a sense, it was, you know, there was always, for as much as bad stuff kind of happened, it always at the end, in a sense, you always kind of felt a little like, oh, you know, life goes on in Defiance. And now at the end of these episodes, you're like, holy crap, what's going to happen next? Who's going to die? You know, it's left you on edge as to, I mean, nobody's safe anymore.
It's like Game of Thrones.
I
don't know how much innocence you can have in a show that in its, what was it, second season? Weren't they the first network or broadcast television show to have Benoit Balls on screen?
Really? I didn't know. I mean,
seriously? And you want to go innocent? I don't know if that's the word I'd use.
It just looked like stressful. That was cool.
I didn't say it wasn't good. I didn't say I wasn't a fan. SP became a Berlin fan almost at that moment. However, I don't know if you could use the term innocent when you're holding up Benoit Balls and you're banging a Castafan handmaiden so hard you knock a picture of his wife off and into her head.
Great ratings. Good show.
I'm not saying that wasn't great. I'm just saying innocent, probably not. I don't know about innocent.
Wrong kind of innocence.
Perhaps
there's more than one kind.
There's totally so many different kinds. Yes,
you have chosen your words poorly, sir. But we're picking up what you're putting down. It did get a little bit more gritty, a little bit more.
It's darker.
Yeah.
Well, that, and you're like wondering at every time you watch an episode who's going to die this time because no one is safe in this town. Like, I did not expect. I mean, they're the bad guys, I guess, and I guess I should have expected it, but I did not expect Conrad to die in Friday night's episode.
Yeah, I was very upset by that.
Which in turn now tells me that Kinsey is the new bad guy.
I was going to say, I'm afraid they're going to have to kill her now, and that's going to make me sad.
That's going to make Sean sad.
It's going to make me sad. So don't kill. Writers, rewrite that stuff if you'd already did it that way. No. Just no.
Sean says no.
No.
And we all know Sean's pull with the Sci-Fi Network is absolutely
less than none. Yeah, exactly.
Going back to 2006. Yeah.
All the way back.
They're not maybe. Listening to you yet, son.
Haven't done a damn thing, no.
Well, I think it's great, though, that I mean, I don't know if you guys saw the comment from Kevin, but, you know, the whole Doc Yule comment about, you know, it's the damn hair braid.
Yeah.
That is a direct result of the fans. I mean, we have fantastic fans. And, you know, there's a few things that have made it into the show because of comments that Kevin and some of the writers have read through Twitter. So
obviously not Sean's Clarence comment, because that hasn't popped up at all.
Well, we have a special file for Sean. I didn't want to bring
most
it up.
Do.
But,
most do. We all have to keep him a special file. Please don't feed the animals. We, you know, tag it next to a shirt. Yeah.
Well, that's great. We love the way that you've been interacting with the community, you and the entire cast and crew. It's been a phenomenal ride, and we really appreciate you taking your time out to talk to us today, and hope to talk to you again once season four is lit. That would be awesome.
Oh, we're hoping. We're keeping our fingers crossed for it.
Keep your sack white.
The whitest. Oh, my God.
What would be the white hue on your VR program? What's the name of that? Do you have a shade name?
Yeah, it is turning purple. She's turning OBEC.
We call it WSA White.
Hell yeah.
There you go.
The best kind.
All right, Matt, we know you got to go, and we got the rest of the show to record. So thank you very much for dropping by. You're welcome anytime. Just let us know.
Well, thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Matt. We'll catch you later. Thanks.
All righty.
Okay, bye.
Later.
Woohoo! Inside information, people. Inside information. He told us absolutely nothing.
Nothing, as he was contractually obligated to do.
So good job, Matt. But we did well appreciate spoken, you,
sir.
We did appreciate you coming on. It was great, and loved talking to you. So this episode, as we were kind of talking around before, is of A Demon in My View. It was written by a complete newbie, Nick Mueller. It's his first writing credit, his first IMDb credit, really. And then it was directed by Thomas Burstein, who does have some extensive cinematography and then very little directing credits, but he has been involved in most of Defiance. He's got 11 episodes underneath his credit, so he has been involved with the show before. But, you know, I think they, for a couple of newbies, a newbie director and a newbie writer, this was a pretty good episode.
Oh, it was a phenomenal episode. And do you know why?
Well, I know why it's good for me, because Berlin came back, but I'm guessing it's good for you because Kinsey and Nolan got it on.
Because Kinsey got it on. You can just stop right there. You could do nothing else in the entire show. I don't care. We're good. This is the best episode of the season, period.
So yeah. It kind of reminded me, and I can't remember the name of the movie, but it was a Clint Eastwood movie, and he was in bound to
any
a chair.
Which way but loose.
That's what it was?
I don't know.
No, he was bound to a chair, and there was a bunch of cameras like on him or whatever, and one of the bad girls comes up to him and does pretty much the same thing. So it just kind of reminded me of that. So I don't know if that was inspiration for it or what, but several people online have said it was basically rape.
You can't rape the willing. I'm just saying.
I don't. He didn't look very willing at the start of it.
Considering that was dry humping on top of clothes, not so much.
I would have been fine with that. In fact, I tweeted at the time, too, when she was in the love nest and everything, got her thighs wrapped around him and like stroking his chest and everything, talking to him and everything. If it was a choice between staying there and snuggling with her or betraying the human race, y'all pink chumps would be all screwed, because no. No.
You say this as your legs bouncing. You're excited.
Oh, man. That was like, yes! Nolan, what are you doing? Eat the pancakes. What are you doing?
What is up with Omex and pancakes? Is it the only thing they know how to eat? Other than
I think apparently. They think it's an aphrodisiac. I think that's what they think it is. Either that or pancakes are an aphrodisiac for Omex.
Like oysters.
Yeah, exactly. They're Omex oysters.
It could be.
That's got to go on a shirt.
As soon as Nolan started asking questions about Arissa, and Kinsey was clearly saying things that were absolutely false, like, oh, yeah, at first she was against it, but then she got to know that it wasn't necessarily. No, that's not Arissa.
I would believe whatever lie she told me. And I know that's why Nolan knew that it wasn't her when she was like, oh, yeah, Arissa accepted the deaths and she knew it was necessary and all that kind of stuff. Arissa wouldn't do that. Arissa wouldn't do that. And he should have been. This is Nolan, not me, by the way.
Yeah, Kinsey. We got that part.
But I bet you he was suspicious when she originally told him, like when she was trying to hold him down and everything, that Arissa came to us in tears begging for help. First of all, Arissa would never do that. Second of all, Arissa would never be in tears and let anyone else see it.
She'd never show it.
Yeah, she'd never show it. So unless she had had her leg sawn off without anesthesia, she would not be crying. She would not be letting others see
her tears.
She
would be going to the Omex because she didn't trust him to begin with.
Right. So right there, he knew she was lying. I personally would not have cared. But
we got that part.
But Nolan, so funny. I bet you knew right at that moment, oh, crap, she's lying to me. Right. But I don't have the strength to fight this. I can't get out of it. I don't know what to do, so I might as well just go along.
Now he has the Artek out of his head. How are they going to get it out of Arissa without the help of Kinsey?
The nanites are taking care of it.
Yeah, they'll get to the ship. Look, she had the little T-ball birdie thing that she sat in and took her up to the ship. So somebody will stand on that pad and just they'll go up. They'll go up to the ship and they'll be able to get the tech. And all they have to do is click on it, you know.
Either that or that disgusting cuckoo clock from the Need One is actually some superior tech that will just dissolve it.
I'm fine with that, although it's probably a little oily from all the lube poopager put on it.
It's splattered around.
It's just slathering around. It's like Omnigel in Mass Effect. Here, just kind of wipe this crap on it. It'll be fine. But I don't know. Kinsey is not a great liar. But
I thought she did pretty good.
I mean, yeah, but the way she did it, it was just, it's just works. I know she's messed up and I know she's evil and she's plans to eat us all and everything like that, but I would be fine. See, I knew there'd be a place in there. She's like, oh, you would be warm and I would take care of you and I would feed you and we'd have lots of sex and you would live out your natural days until I ate you. This sounds like the best offer the town of Defiance ever had.
See,
as far as I'm concerned.
She was disenchanted with him the moment that he admitted that it was the Arctech that made him do it and not him.
I don't think she was. I think she was disappointed when she knew he was lying and trying to get away from her, like going back to Arissa. I think that was the turning point.
I think she would have let him do whatever it was he was going to try to do, but she turned. As soon as he said it wasn't him that shot the vice chancellor, you could see it in her face. She was like, oh, really?
I don't know. We can ask her about that. When she comes back on the show, we'll ask her about that.
Okay.
I would disagree with it, but I think there's room for interpretation. Obviously, and this is the part that really bothers me now, because now Conrad's dead. She has no leash. She has no system of control. She is the main baddie. They're going to have to kill her.
Well, on the show, yeah, I question whether she really is the main baddie amongst Omex society now that Tevkin is dead.
Oh, you think that they were just kind of the watchers and then that the real bad guys are still asleep?
No, I think that Tevkin was renowned as being, I mean, even the VC knew who he was, right? So he was important, but I don't think his daughter is subject to the same respect out of the gate. Unless, I mean, I thought she was going to take the heart and then put it in her, but then she started
eating
it.
And then she started eating it, and I'm like, that's not nice.
You see, when it first came on, I didn't get to watch all of it while I was at work, and then I came home, and I'm like, she's not going to.
I'm like, oh, it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. She and Son like slid it up. She goes, wow, well, how about respect for the dead? I'm like, it's going to get worse. And she grabs the heart. She goes, oh my God, she's going to eat it. And I'm like, oh yeah.
Brings a whole new meaning to word daddy.
Robin?
Rocking Robin? That was awesome.
Conrad,
who
that was great.
Bobby Day who wrote that or sung that or whatever it was?
So hard the way they were dancing with each other.
Betrayed the human race, sent out Rockin' Robin, and sent a whole big bunch of purple people eaters to the earth.
They were excited.
Yeah. What was it with the... Okay, this is the only corny moment that
their dance,
their little like Bill and Ted's air guitar dance with the tongues. I was like, wow, that's out of context.
Thought they were going to eat each other, actually. Thought their teeth were going to come out and go, ah!
Maybe that was their Rock and Robin dance. I mean, obviously, rock and roll affects people in different ways. That was apparently it. Suncast in the chat says, so what Sean is saying is he likes being a submissive to a dom. If the dom is Kinsey, yes, I would be fine with that.
Yes, let's get that straight.
24/7.
This is well known and documented. So
it's not normal.
Well, no. We know this. So we just let him go with it. And you know, if he ever finds himself in that situation, we have to save him from himself.
I was gonna say y'all are screwed.
Or depending on what Shannon's thought to Sean is, we just might let it happen. She might just say,
"Yeah, whatever."
Go. Yeah,
whatever.
She had to be like, "You keep. It's fine."
I've had him. Go ahead. Let's make a trade.
Who would you trade Kinsey for me?
Don't even ask, because you know.
She doesn't have Stama, though. Well, I guess she does have Stama in a way.
Yes.
She could get Stama for you.
She could deliver.
So does Andina. I mean, she's starting to make her power play, and she knows. She's like, well, I'm not stupid. I know I'm just
that
nothing.
That was a wonderful power play.
I loved it. I have such respect for her. Now, Berlin's still my favorite, but Andina is quickly growing to the number two.
Oh, Andina. First of all, Andina's drop dead beautiful. The other thing is she is like that classic casty woman who is trading on all her advantages. And you can see her do the deal on Stama's level with Stama. I was impressed. I was like, man, Andina's been working it, man. She understands how this works.
They keep on talking about this Shashi Liro, and what? There's like 12 of them left or something like that?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it doesn't matter. These 12. The one below you is these four guys.
exactly. The new crew. Yeah, I got to be honest with you. I'm just here for the money, and like, yeah. I'll stand at the door, but I'm not going to shoot anybody.
Look, you know, and she's like, you can't leave me with these people. And Adina's like, on point,
give me,
man.
Give me
she's
a
like,
gun.
Give me a gun.
Because not to protect Stama. She wants to protect herself.
Yeah, that chick is not stupid. I'm telling you, she is working it. I thought she was going to be a throwaway, or she was going to...
Yeah, I didn't trust her at first.
That girl is making her power play known and is good at it.
I'll protect you.
And I honestly think she does...
Oh, you bring the baby by.
She does care for Alec and the baby and everything,
she
but
does.
I think she's as much as she does that, she's also playing to be... who she wants to be, and all power to her, because you know there just aren't that many left. Arissa Wi-Fi in the chat says, Sean, Kinsey or Berlin, pick one. Well, it's easy.
That wasn't a question.
That's not even a question.
That is Kinsey. Where Sean and SP diverge.
Yeah, exactly. Because SP is very Berlin with her leather halter strappy.
Oh yeah,
kind
and,
of.
And the truck that she was driving, I was
looking
so
thing.
Surprised it didn't have a sticker on could, it that said it's an 8x8 thing you wouldn't understand. I just see her doing something like that, you know, like it's a Jeep thing you wouldn't understand, or you know, whatever.
Yeah, so. It looks like a military Hemet or something like that. I don't know what it is, but it's look, ladies, you can get SP with a vehicle. If you come with a big enough all-terrain vehicle, SP will melt like butter.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Big enough truck would work too, but yeah, an 8x8.
I'm
yeah.
not picky.
Like parking.
I only shudder.
How many wheels does that have on it? Oh, that's so sexy.
Yeah, no dually crap. I don't want the dualies.
That's useless. Give me wheels or
tracks.
Now, what if she came in with tracks? What if she had like an armor personnel carrier or something
like
that?
Well, I mean, tracks, I think you'd have to go tank. But yeah.
Oh, man. What if she had
like
a Merkava? Well, like an Israeli Merkava just coming through.
You guys are funny.
You guys wouldn't understand this, but up north when they go ice fishing, they actually put tracks on Suburbans and trucks and stuff like that and let it... The Suburban, obviously toast. I mean, beautiful mint Suburban, 40, 50 years old, and...
Bullet holes all in it on fire.
It was all melted and crap. Yeah. From the VC motorcade. Yeah. Oh, and when did they start building trucks with I-beams on the side to fall on people when they roll over? When did that happen?
You'd figure that would...
It's going to be going against some regulations.
I was going to say, that's an awful lot of metal to weigh. In fact, I thought this one in the episode, too. I'm like, wow, that's an awful lot of metal to waste in a vehicle like that. You'd figure they could get that done different ways, you know? That thing probably weighs, what, like 1,000 pounds, just that beam?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it have crushed her hip?
Oh, no, she'd have been flattened underneath that thing. It would have just crushed her pelvis.
It's the nanobots that were
Berlin.
Yeah. It's the nanobots that were continually regenerating her hips. She doesn't know they're still working, but they are. That's why she's not dead, because the last time the two were separated for more than 2 hours, I mean, let's face it, they're not a mile away from each other. Nolan is in Defiance. Arissa is in Oklahoma. That's brain death right there for the Arc Tech. And they're not. So I don't know how that happened.
It's kind of as plot requires, because they were separated almost instantly after that thing crashed, or after that transport crashed, and they didn't die. So I don't know. I don't know whether it was just like a mistaken thing, or like Doc was... And poor Doc. I feel bad. I really do.
She's trying.
I know she's fine, but I just...
No, she's trying. You mean
she is trying. She's trying really hard. I just feel bad for her. I mean, I used to say, oh, Doc's getting what she put out, but wow, she just gets the short end of the stick in every season.
I think she'll make a comeback. I think she needs to rip that stem out of her neck and start kicking ass.
Well, here's my thing that I saw, though, because I was paying attention to the credits. And you know, Kinsey is part of the credits before the guest stars. Trina is still a guest star.
Yeah, she. I've noticed that. Every single episode, guest starring Trina Keaton.
Guest starring, yeah. So I'm wondering...
Oh, that doesn't make me feel better.
Although they have Doc clones. So we could have, you know, like Data and before. You know, we could have a Doc clone.
Lore, or what was Data's brother's name? I can't remember off the top of my head. Well,
Data's brother was Lore, and then he had another one built after him called B4.
B4, yeah. Okay.
and it was...
So yeah, look, you could have...
Don't mess with me on TNG trivia, y'all. I'll
you could have
it.
Yule, and then you could have Mule.
Stool.
Trina, I want to point out that, unfortunately, and I'm really sorry to see this, because your husband's a red shirt. He was in one episode, and he didn't appear in the second episode. He was in one episode. I guess the back of his head was in this episode.
You got to hear him talk. Briefly.
Well, we got to hear him talk last episode. Oh, you mean briefly? Well, anyway, it was so short. I'm calling him a red shirt.
Yeah, I'll go with that. Although we did see a couple extra characters in the monkey cages on the Omeg ship.
I told you he wasn't dead.
You did indeed say he wasn't dead. And Samir is, of course, alive. So
I didn't actually see him. Where was he in relation to Daytek? Because I
right under him.
Right underneath him.
Okay. Yeah, he was right underneath him. He was in the cage right underneath him. And then Daytek wakes up and everything, which, look... Not for nothing, but Daytek is a little like Wolverine at this point. He is almost unkillable. So bringing him to your ship is not a good idea. And while he's still alive,
he's got that bionic arm. I was surprised it was turned off or something, because he could get out of anything with that.
Oh man, you'd think so. It's like, you know, like the Bionic Man, and just like rip it open. I don't know, man. That's totally what I would do. And maybe it's more like Luke Skywalker's arm, where it's just like kind of 95% there.
No, well, because we saw him beat the holy crap out of Nolan. Remember, Nolan wanted to go after him, and Daytek just with his arm took care of Nolan. And Nolan's taken down Biomen before, so, you know, it's not for nothing.
Yeah, it's got to be pretty decent. And Daytek's got his charge blade with him still, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah. Oh. You know, the card scene with Stama and Daytek, and they've got all the weapons on the table. Yeah, that's just every average night at the Tar household, after their bath, they go play their cards on the table with all the weapons.
We were talking about that.
Yeah, and Shannon and I had like a long conversation about that.
Prior to this season, prior to the end of second season, you would never have seen Stama and Daytek have that kind of open relationship with each other, because it took them all of the end of the second season for him to realize that she is a great partner and she is capable of her own. And
well, she is his equal. She is his equal. She is the yin to his yang, but she is his equal in almost every way.
So now she doesn't have to hide her feelings. She's not afraid to say them without having kind of...
They actually have the most honest relationship at this point in Defiance. I mean, they're talking about things. He's talking about... although I loved the line, I don't know why you're being so horrible. I'm bored.
Sounds like you.
I was going to say, yeah, it does sound like me. Like just poking a badger with a stick because I'm bored. It's very much that way. But you can watch them work out their issues now. I mean, and they do. They had a very honest conversation that satisfied both of them. That's a marriage.
And they were playing cards. Who would have thought that you'd seen Datek and Stama sitting at a card table?
Well, he does card tricks. That's part of his shtick. That's what he did.
Not together.
Well, yeah, but she could probably, she's seen all his card tricks. I bet you she can do half of them. So there's nothing he can do to her that she can't counter. So yeah, I would say that that's more than a fair family activity with guns on the table.
Fair point. I mean, she probably could do that, but I bet you he could not weave. And you know, he surely cannot cook sea otter. That's just not happening.
No, no, I seriously doubt it. However, the man does have some pain tolerance. I'm just saying. It's if you can cut your own arm off with the effective thing of a lightsaber, I'm going to say that's hardcore.
See, a lightsaber, you just take it up and you just, with the momentum, and your arm would be gone. It wouldn't hurt or anything. He actually sawed his arm off.
Oh, you think the charge blade has less energy to it. So it's a little, you gotta hack through some of the bone and sinew is what you're saying.
I think either that or his heart wasn't in it, which I mean, let's face it. You're cutting off your good left arm.
Look, man, you're going through the motions here, sir.
It was funny how when Doc was going to give him a shot, he's like, the other arm.
Yeah.
The other arm.
He should have known something was wrong from that point, because if she was in her right mind, she would have known not to go for that arm.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I do feel bad for Doc. I don't know. I'm trying to imagine scenarios where Doc winds up happy. And the only thing I can think of is the town forgives her and she winds up with Sidebraid, which will never happen.
I know. You said that Little Wolf and Berlin would never work together again. And there they were. Walking through the Omek cave.
Yeah.
I don't think that was exactly working together. I think that was just mutual here at the same time.
I don't know. She could have walked away and left her laying there in the bottom of the truck.
Yeah, she could have, but she needed an intel. And she was coming back from abandoning the town, so she needed all the brownie points she could get.
Oh, Amanda rode her hard. Oh, so things didn't work out with Conrad, huh?
I can't believe you just said that, knowing who you're talking to
and about.
It was intentional, let me tell you. I don't do it very often, but that time I did. Oh, and then the bonfire at the end, you know, just holding the hands. I miss you. I miss you too. I'm like, when did they start sleeping together?
I don't know, but I'd like to see it.
There we go back to poor Doc.
Yeah. Yeah, no, nobody's going for Doc. Although, I think she's more interested in scientific discovery than a relationship. I think she likes the interaction with people, and she's not getting it because anybody that's becomes close to her, she's got to knock out and put in the feeding cages for later. So, she needs some way to pull out the stem, and I don't know if that's going to happen or not. And we do see her firing a gun in the trailer for next week, so...
So, speaking of cages, we have Arista Wi-Fi that says that she thinks that Samir was going to save the Doc. He's got to get out of that cage first.
I think Datek will take care of that.
I don't know. If I was Samir, I'd be pretty pissed with Doc.
Yeah, but he would also know. I mean, he's the one who pointed out, hey, what's that?
Oh, that's true. That's true. He's the only one who's really seen it.
Yeah. So, actually, that I think that's a good thought.
He's the only one that's gone that knows that she went down at the caves by herself.
Yeah, so Samir and Datek talk, and he's like, what happened with Doc? And, you know, he went after her, right? So
He did.
It wasn't just to find out what kills Omek, although that was important. It was also, I got to make sure Doc is safe. Because,
you know, she's his friend.
They are surprisingly loyal to each other. Yeah. I mean, because and as much as crap as they give each other, Doc and Datek really do support each other.
I bet you later she'll feel really bad about sticking him with that needle.
I think so. Doc doesn't really have that gear.
Other arm, sweetie.
Right.
Bend over. Yeah, I don't. She might. She'll pat him on the leg and say, "You're fine."
Well, we got two episodes left. Two episodes. 2 weeks. And
don't say it that way. It makes me depressed.
Well, for this season. Two episodes for this season.
Yeah. So either it'll be, we'll see you next year after that, you know, after we get done with the season, it'll be there. Either be, we'll see you next year, or we'll see you
on our next podcast. Yeah.
Yeah. On
the Gunna Geek Network or whatever. Yeah. Yeah. So we'll take that as it goes. Next week, of course, is episode 12, The Awakening. Great movie from 2011, if you ever saw it, which, you know, whatever. But The Awakening had no bearing on the conversation whatsoever. Now, on a good news note, though, I did take a look at the season three ratings, and the only ratings that I'm getting are the 18 through 49 demo. So they're not the full ratings. It hasn't broached that top 25 shows on the week yet, but they did go up. They had a 25% bump up this week with a 1.26 for the key demographic of 18 through 49. So you about double that. So they're about 2.5. It was their second highest rating of the season. So it, you know, people are starting to, you know, listen to Voices of Defiance and figuring out that it's not just about us having fun. We're actually talking about a show. So then they go watch the show and everything's fine. So there you go.
Although we do have fun.
We do. And if you want to hear more shows on the Guinea Geek Network that have fun, you can go check out Unqualified Gamers. They were live at Gen Con a couple of weeks ago at Gen Con 2015 in Indianapolis. And they recorded in front of a live studio audience, and Cody threw out a lot of pens. I'm just kind of worried that somebody was going to get stuck in the eye or something. But hey, if you want to see him try to impale somebody, you can watch it. It is on the GunnaGeek.com network. They have special guest Jim Awesome Zoss Whitmer talking about his shoutcasting career with Caster Caravans. And it's a company that provides organizations and tournaments hosts with streamers and shoutcasters for their various tournaments events, plus Oliver, head of public relations for the Indianapolis Guild of Extra Life. So go ahead and check that out. So we had a lot of feedback this week. It was great hearing from you all. First of all, on Facebook, we asked, what has been your favorite Defiance moment so far this season? And David Armour came back and gave us a couple of great pictures, getting the band back together. You know, Nolan in the little hideout that imploded, right?
Yes, as a matter of fact.
Imploded. And then he showed one of Shannon's favorites, which is Conrad and Jamie in the nest. So there you go. And then Megan O'Hara, I assume that's some relation to y'all, said that's
it's my sister. Yeah.
Gangster. There you go. I said it. Thanks, Megan, for making me say that. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you got SP to cuss.
Yeah, there you go. And Luca Corso, which I'll have to beep out later, but Luca Corso said, detox instant weight loss, which is a picture of him actually sawing his arm off. There you go. And then Elsia Ergana said, Stama and Daytac blow up the arch. So there you go. And then also, Libby gave us a wonderful voicemail. Are you guys ready to hear it?
Word.
Hey, Shannon, Sean, and Stop High, me again. I'm so glad to see Berlin back and acting more like the Berlin we know and love. She rescued Arisa, worked with her to look for Nolan, and made up with Amanda. She said she's just back to help and that Conrad's cool with it, but I don't buy it. I think something happened with Conrad to shake her back to reality, like maybe she met his father, because anyone who plays the game knows how icky Carl von Bach is. Stama and Daytac cooped up together is always hilarious, but somehow they managed an actual tender moment without it being over the bodies of people they just killed, which was very nice. Andina is increasingly treasure doll-ish. She wants power and she wants Alec. Kinsey is sexy Sean, but she's 100% crazy. Tevkin should have freed Doc when he had the chance. Now he's dead, Kinsey's unkillable, and Daytac might be lunch. I spent most of the episode thinking how much I love pretty much all the characters, but did the Kinsey-Nolan sex scene seem uncomfortable to anyone else, like perhaps rape? I can't wait to hear what you guys think. Okay, bye!
Again, Sean and I a little bit disagree with that, but...
Nope.
I mean, let me point out, brain surgery and then have sex right afterwards, probably not the best thing in the world for a patient.
It's not counter-recommended.
Plus it's a doctor patient. I mean, that's whatever.
Yeah, but you almost have to throw that out the window because there's just not enough people anymore. So, you know, you look, everybody knows everybody anyway. So it's fine. It's just, trust me, just snuggle with Kinsey more. You might even change your mind if she had enough snuggling. You didn't even try, sir. Oh, you didn't even try.
Okay, but if the fangs come out, you know, it's probably too late, but that's it. Anyway, thank you very much, Libby. We really appreciate the continued voicemails. We really do. And my email line is open for you. We had another couple of great iTunes reviews this week. It's awesome. I Love It by Jamie World said, also known as @JamieObsession on Twitter. Like the title says, I love this podcast. It's really the only one I listen to right now, but I love the predictions and the jokes and the interviews with the cast. And I love when Shannon fangirls over Jamie. I do that too. It's great listening to a podcast where the hosts love the show as much as I do. We need a season 4 so I can keep listening to this awesome podcast. Also, the outtakes really crack me up. Glad you love them. The second iTunes review we had is entitled Team Side Braid by Mel Wheezy. Love the podcast, guys. If you are a Defiance fan, this is the companion podcast for you. You guys are the best Defiance podcast. Keep up the good work and watch out for that OMAC. Next season, I might actually have to change the outro. So there you go. Thank you very much, guys. We are on iTunes. We love your reviews. If you go ahead and give us a review, give us a 5-star review, it just means more people actually get to hear the podcast and interact with everybody. And that's what we're here for, interaction. Well, there was a bunch of Twitter feedback this week. First of all, just want to say thank you again to Conrad. He sent us a great picture while we were still on the air last week of him in full makeup. And yes, you will sorely be missed, sir. I assume you'll be back in maybe a flashback or something like that. So
super, super classy dude.
Yeah, absolutely. We really appreciate your time, sir. And as I said before, you are always welcome back on the podcast. Lisa Ortega, also known as @DownLowAndNerdy, said, Berlin, such a badass, even in love. Quote, oh, that's just my ex, known for his family's weapons cartel, period. So we know what Lisa likes, weapons. Suncast said, oh, hey, Voices of Defiance, Samir isn't dead. #Defiance. Yes, we know. Sorry. We called it last week when we shouldn't have, or at least Sean and I did.
Richard.
Well, the red shirt was Trenna's husband, you know, the chief of staff of the VC. So there you go. Lots of red shirts and lots of non-red shirts this year. I mean, people that come, we get to know them and then they die. I mean, that's Defiance this year. So there you go. Also, @JamieObsession said, so I was listening to an @VoicesOfDefiance podcast and my iPod died on me. I'm like, oh, that's terrible. I'll tell you what. If your iPod is still dead, I have this wonderful, beautiful dual tape deck. I mean, like cassette tape deck that is in my system right now. So if you need me to, if anybody needs me to, I will actually spin you a copy of the podcast on cassette tape. And if you give me your email address, I will email it to you. You got to get some use out of this thing somehow. So there you go.
Just think, nights alone with your cassette deck and your own turnip. Your own turnip.
Okay, so we also asked on Twitter, what has been your favorite Defiance moment so far this season? And we got from @SF_fangirl, I'm torn between Stalma and Tevkin humming from the Olmec Opera Harvest Nocturne and Datax flashbacks to the Kastathan homeworld. Wow, we didn't even talk to Matt about that. The Kastathan homeworld, that was some cool stuff. Also, @StephenMattJR84 said, as much as I can't stand Datax, seeing him cut off his own arm and book it to safety was quite awesome. Yeah, you know, the running, the one arm running, that was pretty funny. Yeah. So Tony Curran, thank you for giving us that visual. That will probably be my favorite Datax visual. Suncast said, after Ariza hits rock bottom and forgives Nolan for not being a great father figure. Interesting. And @ThatOneGuyYouKnow said, is all of the above an option? So obviously, yes, great season of Defiance. Way better than season, what was that, 4 of BSG? There you go. @NikkiJMorgan said, Voice of Defiance, to be honest, I have multiple favorites at the moment. And said, Datax cutting off his arm, leading to Ramtok's army being blown the frack up. Yes, the explosion at the gate. That was awesome. Now, this is important. That we put a poll out there before the episode aired and we asked, who would you want Alec Tarr to end up with, Ariza or Andina? And I will say, overwhelmingly, but not completely dominant, was Ariza. There were a few people like myself that are pro Andina. So we'll see how that all plays out. But most important to note is that Jesse Rath himself chimed in on it and he said, sure, Alyssa is a good ship name for Alec and Ariza, but I prefer Arak. And then he put out, just in case, you know, we were wondering if he did end up with Ariza or not, he put out Andinak. So there you go. There's the three Jesse Rath approved shipper names. So have fun with that. And I will end the feedback section with Andy Migna, our friend, said, helping a bit to hashtag Renew Defiance, just bought Defiance Season 1 and 2 on Blu-ray via Amazon UK. Way to go, sir. Yes, we are in the moment of trying to renew Defiance. So please tweet, call, write your letters, telegram, sci-fi, and say you want a Defiance Season 4. And they will take your opinion into note, because we know that sci-fi does that. Unlike Fox. Screw Fox. Okay. So that's it for this week. And next week, as I mentioned before, will be The Awakening Season 12. I'm looking forward to it. There'll probably be a little bit of a cliffhanger at the end of the episode leading into the final episode. So I am looking forward to that. What about you, Sean?
I am indeed. I'm looking forward to just a... Really, I want to see the rest of the hammer fall. You know, because we're getting really close here, and we've been building and building and building. Half the town is dead. Most of this stuff has just kind of come apart at the seams. I want to see it either save itself or blow up completely. One of those two things. Oh, that'd be cool. See, like I always held that BSG should have ended on the nuked out planet. Like, see, you blew it up. You screwed it up and it's all your fault and just left it there. I think that would have been exceptionally powerful. You could do that same kind of power on Defiance. They don't listen to me. That'll be the one time they go, you know, that Sean guy had a great idea. Let's just kill everybody.
Hey, Shannon, your mic's not on.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think it's still up in the air, but I honestly think blow it up. Explode it. That'd be good. Shannon's looking at me with like death eyes.
Horrible idea.
They've blown up a bunch of stuff. You know they're going to blow up more. Like the ship.
A horrible idea.
I see the ship being drug into the moon. Is the moon still there? I haven't seen the moon in a while.
Are there tides?
I don't know. I mean, is there an ocean left? We don't know. It could all be vaporized.
I'm not looking forward to the end at all. I don't want to see it end. And I don't want to take an entire winter before we find out whether we find out we have the fourth season.
Oh, they took a while last time.
It took astronomically a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, they took a while. And as we heard, the last person cast on the show was Kinsey, and probably the second last was Conrad, and he found out Christmas Eve. So that's how short a time span they had between filming the entire season and us seeing it now. It takes a while, especially with all the VR. That's important. That's why we had Matt on the podcast. It's a big part of the sci-fi shows to have all the effects, the CGI, the VR, whatever you want to call it these days. What's the politically correct term? I have no idea, but I like to call it CGI because I'm old school. Tron. Hey.
Tron.
All I can say is sci-fi, please renew Defiance because I want to see another season. Damn it.
Yeah, because they totally listen to us.
Well, I think either way, I think we'll get a satisfactory sort of conclusion. I hope it's not a Stargate Universe or an Alphas Season 2. Those both suck.
Oh, where it just kind of cuts in the middle of. So you feel like they cut it in the middle of shooting with Alphas.
I would have, in that situation, if they're going to not continue it, but the storyline isn't completely completed, I would like for them to come back for, what, 4 or 5 episodes and just wrap it up. I think that's the right thing to do.
Like a mini movie?
Well, yeah, like they did with Farscape. Farscape did it with the Peacekeeper Wars.
Yeah.
And it was a really well-done ending.
Chuck came back for half a season. I mean, a lot of shows have been coming back for fan service because... If you piss off fans, like I mentioned it before, kind of jokingly, but Fox, nobody trusts Fox anymore.
Well, I mean, Firefly came back with Serenity, and that was the only excellent way to end it. And look at it, years later, Firefly is still going, and Fox still sucks.
I know, it's the biggest mistake they made. I mean, Terra Nova, and again, I don't know how many people actually watched it or not, but I liked that show, and it just like abruptly ended on a cliffhanger. And this is Fox show again, that's not sci-fi. But I'm like, guys, just like do something so it just doesn't end like you don't, like, okay, you know, what's next? And you never get it. It's like, well, and it makes me as a viewer not want to go into other shows on that network because I never know.
Because you don't trust them. Right? Yeah.
So that's why I think that if they do end something like that with here on Defiance, if they give us a few shows, or a mini series, which this didn't get. BSG got this, didn't get. They could end it on a mini series. That would be fine. I mean, whatever. And if we get another season, another two seasons, whatever. This is a show that a lot of people like. Strong female characters and definitely an in-depth storyline with space involved a little bit.
And sci-fi, let me just sweeten the pot for you.
Yeah.
Shannon has decreed that if we get a fourth season, she is going to get a Defiance tattoo. So if that happens, I am going to enforce that. She will have a Defiance tattoo. Now, it'll probably wind up being a lawkeeper badge or something, babe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fitting for me.
Boob star. That's what we were talking about at the very beginning of the podcast. Bring it back. Boob star.
Oh, put the star on your boob. I would like that. You would be an official Defiance lawkeeper.
I don't know.
You'd always be in uniform.
It's got to go somewhere.
I got my own badge. I don't need.
Why, Sheriff Shannon, you're almost out of uniform.
You could never turn your badge in.
Exactly. Officer Boobstar reporting for duty. That could be your new sci-fi character name.
Better Boobstar. Not be. I'm just telling you this now.
It better not be.
That goes anywhere, you're going to be in trouble.
Barbie punching Boobstar.
I don't think Potty would be happy with that.
Sean thus decree it.
Sean doesn't count, though.
It is so.
Thus it be
this boom. Has been established. Sean doesn't count.
Reverend O'Hara, there is no arguing with the Reverend.
Speak to me, my child. I know what is true.
Log.
Log. Log.
Anybody see the log this week? I didn't.
Well, yeah, it was big and laying across the road.
Grew a little bit. It grooted, right? Grooted.
just a little bit. You know?
Groot.
All right. So thank you, everyone, for listening. We really appreciate you stopping by and listening to us and downloading the podcast. Really, seriously, thank you very much. And we do this to have fun and to interact with you. We don't do this for money. God knows we don't do this for money. So we just do this to have fun. So thank you very much for dropping by.
Just remember, I will paraphrase Casey Kasem on our way out. Keep your sack white and keep reaching for the stars.
Thanks. Bye, everyone.
Says the sack cleaner.
Thanks for listening to Voices of Defiance. If you want to get in touch with us, you can catch us on Twitter at VoicesODefiance. Email us at feedback@voicesofdefiance.com. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/voicesofdefiance. Swing by our website, www.voicesofdefiance.com. Or send us a voicemail on area code 612-888-ARC-1. That's 612-888-2751. This podcast is not affiliated with Sci-Fi, the television show Defiance, or the Trion video game Defiance. Music titled After the Apocalypse by Schnee Schnook and Rocket Easy by Sound Rogue can be found on pond5.com. Catch you next time, and watch out for those hellbugs.
And we have to be able to get it to them so they can finish the final sound mix on it that day.
Sound mix. Nice. I know all about sound mixing. Sucks.
It's really cool. Like last season, because they review it just across the, across the street. I guess it is technically across the street from where our offices are. And last season, we got to go and watch them do, I forget which episode it was. It's the episode where Rafe was cooking and I think they found out that Christy was pregnant.
Oh, where Rafe was cooking in the kitchen. And that's the episode where Stama and Alec smell, they sniffed her.
Exactly. Yeah.
What the hell's wrong with you people?
I don't even want to know what that smell was.
Hey, we learned good things from that, because when we were talking to Nicole, she said that was all Jamie's idea to come up with the sniffing.
Oh, really?
And this past week, this past week I asked Nicole, I asked Nicole how many times it took her to sniff Nolan this week. She said 16 times.
What? I remember that.
Good day, then. Good day. Yeah. A lot of sniffing and stabbing and licking this season.
There is. All right. It's like, yeah, a little SNL for you.
Okay.
Oh, that's Trisha Helfer. Man, she was actually, when we were working on Blood and Chrome, she actually came into the building because she had a voiceover at the end of Blood and Chrome, and I did not see her that day. I was very disappointed.
If you had seen her, what would you have done?
Yeah, probably nothing.
You would have had moments like me and Jamie, right?
I would have been. Yeah,
exactly.
I'm a big fan of your work. I've worked on scenes.
What's that?
I'm a big fan of your work. I've worked on scenes that you've been in. I mean,
right, exactly. I mean, it could have been worse. I could have been wearing a Star Trek bathrobe, but
yellow. Oh my God. Yellow. You know, yellow Star Trek. He never confirmed that it was Star Trek. He just said it was a big yellow bathrobe.
Oh, did he? Oh, okay, yeah. Big yellow. That's hilarious. Hey, how's it going?
I'll throw it out like you.
Oh, my gosh. You, Hefner.
That would have been great.
Oh, exactly. How you doing?
He could have had an Ensign Crusher shirt on. Could have been worse.
Oh, my gosh. You know, they actually make a hoodie, a Wesley hoodie.
I've seen them. I've seen the whole t-shirt.
Oh, man. Well, I think I told you that's my nickname at work is Wesley.
Why?
Because I was, you know, I was the new guy. I was like the new guy. And I don't know why exactly, but, you know, I've saved the ship a couple times. So
so that's awesome. So unlike other workplaces where you're the new guy or the newbie, you know, the wet behind the ears, you get called Wesley Crusher. Because of a Star Trek reference. That's pretty cool.
I'm the ensign.
That's better than corporal. Right. That's the lowest rank on the Enterprise is corporal. There's a Trivia Pursuit question about that.
You would know that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the original Trivia Pursuit, too.
Matt's like,
I did not know this.
Gonna have to go through all my cards now.
That's too funny. I did not know that.
I got it wrong once, and I would never get it wrong again, because I thought it was ensign, because I was like, there's no one listed on board that thing. No, I was wrong. There are corporals.
Interesting. Yeah, I guess, yeah, they do have NCOs.
Yeah, well, the chief, I think, was the first regular character that was
NCO.
Everybody else was red shirts.
Did Kayla just give you an envelope?
She stuffed it through the door,
like in Top Gear. Here's your envelope. Here's your next challenge, Mom.
She gave me a thank you card.
She gave you a thank you card. Oh, Hello Kitty. All right. Right on.
You're laughing.
Right.
No, he's not frozen, baby. Here, do you want to talk to him? No? Okay.
Is that Kayla or is that Turtle?
No, it's Kayla.
Hey, Kayla.
See? He's waving.
How's it going?
He can't hear you. Say hi.
Hi.
I hear you're quite the guitar player now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Are we going to ever hear you play the guitar?
You can play guitar on a podcast?
We could do it in the outtakes.
Yeah.
What's
outtakes? That's when you goof up, but it's funny. She's staring at your video and everything. She came up. She's like, is that you? And I'm like, no. She goes, he has the same haircut as you. He's wearing glasses.
Yeah, when you get old, that happens, Kayla.
Now,
what did she say? I'm sorry, Junior.
We're both wearing glasses. How am I supposed to know? You're wearing glasses too. Do we look like you?
No.
Okay. See,
my microphone's better than your dad's microphone, though.
They still both look the same. Yes, they do.
They're the same fit for him. Yeah, that's true.
Both do. You two look the same. The microphones too look the same.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You're talking funny, huh? Because you're nervous.
Broadcast has been successfully terminated.